Thank you, Sharon. We will call to order the regular meeting of the Planning Commission for Orange County, California, Wednesday, August 24, 2022, and it's 1:31, so we'll get started. And why don't we start off with the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Bartlett is right next to the flag, so we'll ask him.
Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner. And then we'll take the roll call. So we've got First District, Commissioner Ha.
Here.
And Second District, Commissioner Morgan, I think is on his way. And Third District is myself, Kevin Rice, I'm here. Fourth District, Vice
here.
Chair Perez.
Here. Here.
Thank you. And Fifth District.
Here.
Thank you. All right, there we go. And now we will go to our next item, which should be the minutes. And make sure, yes, we've got a special quorum for that. Commissioner Bartlett was not able to be here last time, but we have a quorum of three who were there. So have you had an opportunity? Go ahead, please make it. Make a motion.
I'll make a motion for approval of the June 22nd minutes.
I'll second that.
All right, and all those in favor say aye.
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 All right.
Abstain.
Thank you. Three ayes, one abstention. And then Commissioner Morgan again is on his way. So next, we come up with the first discussion item. I don't know how long Commissioner Morgan is going to take, but he did receive a briefing on this.
Yeah, we had it together.
Okay, so Commissioner Morgan has the basics of it. So I think we're probably good to go. And so I'll turn that over to our executive officer.
Thank you, Chairman Rice. This is public hearing.
Yeah, we've got limited microphones, so
yes.
There's strange noises on the recording.
This is the first public hearing, which is for Land Use Element Amendment LU22-01 and Zoning Code Amendment CA22-01. The applicant is OC Development Services, and the location is throughout unincorporated areas of Orange County, inclusive of all supervisory districts. With that, I'll turn it over to our long-range planning manager, Cindy Salazar.
Thank you, Justin.
And does she need the microphone?
Hold on, yeah, she needs the microphone.
This is fun. No, the whole microphone.
It's like the Jerry Springer Show.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Justin. Good afternoon, Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Cindy Salazar, Advance and Environmental Land Use Manager. With me today is Ruby Maldonado, Contract Senior Planner. We are before you to request that your Planning Commission recommend adoption by the Board of Supervisors an amendment to the county's land use element and comprehensive zoning code to facilitate the development of housing in order to meet the county's RENA allocation for the sixth cycle housing element update. In today's presentation, I will provide a brief background overview and discuss the CEQA initial study negative declaration environmental document. Then go over the general plan amendment to the land use element and the zoning code amendment, specifically the housing opportunities overlay district. Lastly, I will review the next steps recommended actions, and questions. Please stop me anytime during the presentation if you have any questions. The County of Orange is in the process of completing its sixth cycle housing element update. Included in the update is a description of how the county will meet its RENA allocation and a discussion of sites that must be available for housing development. These sites must be zoned to provide enough density to meet the county's RENA allocation of 10,406 total housing units. Also included in the update is a description of programs to ensure the housing needs of the unincorporated will be met. The housing element update has triggered the need to complete other necessary housing related updates to the general plan and comprehensive zone. So as part of the requirement to update the housing element, the safety element is required to ensure compliance with the government code and to address new statutory considerations regarding wildfire. The government code also requires that upon adoption of two or more existing elements, environmental justice policies shall be incorporated either in a separate element or integrating environmental justice related goals, policies, and objectives throughout the other elements. These two general plan amendments, housing and land use elements, trigger the requirement for the county to comply with the statute at this time. So as part of the overall housing element update, a statutory deadline of October 15, 2022 has been set to complete all required zoning amendments, such as changing density in existing districts by that date. A CEQA document has been completed for has been prepared to study the potential environmental impacts of the housing element update and all other housing related amendments. The initial study, negative declaration, analyzed implementation of a policy framework necessary to meet the RENA allocation through housing related amendments to the general plan elements and comprehensive zoning code. The ISND was made available for public review from July 12th to August 10th. The environmental document does not grant any land use entitlements, authorized development, change based zoning districts, or involve any direct physical changes to land or existing environment. One letter with two comments was received during the public review period. The commenter raised concerns regarding rezone and potential impacts from increased densities. However, the ISND does not authorize any development or involve any direct physical changes to the environment. There is no certainty that the development would occur or to what degree any given parcel will be developed. The document analyzes implementation of a policy framework necessary to meet the RENA allocation through the housing related amendments. Should development be proposed, a planning review and additional CEQA evaluation would be required as appropriate. So based on the ISND and the administrative record as a whole, staff found that there is no substantial evidence of a fair argument that the project may have a significant impact on the environment. The land use element is one of the nine elements in the county's general plan, and it includes policies, objectives, and land use patterns from all the other elements. The proposed amendment to the land use element is limited to only those revisions required to ensure consistency with the housing element and the comprehensive zoning code, specifically the housing opportunities overlay district regulations. Also, the proposed amendment includes an update to the demographic data and allowable uses in land use categories for consistency with the zoning code. The proposed revisions to the land use element include the following: addition of a discussion regarding the applicability of the housing opportunities overlay district regulations to the commercial and industrial land use categories. The commercial land use designation in the land use element needs to be updated to include affordable housing as already reflected in the housing element and the current zoning code. Affordable housing is already an allowed use since 2006. The revision also includes addition of affordable multifamily housing to the table of allowable uses in the commercial and industrial land use categories. Overall, these revisions are being made to update the land use element to be consistent with allowed uses in the zoning code. Also, the proposed revision includes an update to the demographic data specifically regarding population estimates and density standards within each land use category. State law requires jurisdictions to include the number of people per unit and per acre within each land use category. This information is not a standard or a regulation, but provided in the land use element as a reference and has not been updated for over 10 years. So these estimates have been updated to show the average in the county. The county has limited options to meet the six-site marina allocation during this planning period. The county must either find new residential sites or increase density on existing residential sites to demonstrate to the state that the county can meet the marina allocation of 10,406 total housing units. The county's marina allocation for sixth cycle is almost double the previous fifth cycle allocation of 5,272 housing units. To be consistent with state law, information on low barrier navigation centers have been included in the zoning code amendment. Also, the zoning code may be updated as necessary to capture revisions, omissions, and typos. One of the programs included in the county's housing element update is to revise the housing opportunities overlay district regulations to allow higher densities for projects providing affordable multiple family housing. The intent of the overlay is to facilitate the development of affordable housing within commercial, industrial, and high density zoned residential parcels. The county's housing opportunities overlay regulations were adopted by the board in 2006, amended in 2008, and again in 2013 to increase the number of eligible sites by expanding the overlay to high density residential zoning districts and to increase the base density of commercial and industrial zone parcels from 25 dwelling units per acre to the current density of 43 dwelling units per acre. This proposed amendment will increase the current base density of 43 dwelling units per acre of affordable housing development to 70 dwelling units per acre on commercial and industrial zone parcels and in high density residential zoning districts. Because the county has limited options to meet its marina allocation, increasing density within the overlay would ensure the housing needs of unincorporated areas will be met and to help facilitate the construction of new housing units. However, this is not applicable to parcels in high density residential zoning districts with an existing multifamily residential development. This is to avoid demolition of an existing affordable units in order to get an increase in density. To be consistent with state law, the addition of low barrier navigation centers to the housing opportunities overlay district as a permitted use has been included. Low barrier navigation centers are very similar to multi-service centers, which is already included in the zoning code, but it includes housing-focused keys management to assist with income, public benefits, health services, and permanent shelter and housing. This specific edit to include low barrier navigation centers to the zoning code would make the zoning code consistent with existing state regulations. An additional amendment to the Housing Opportunities Overlay District regulations include a revision giving approval authority of future revisions of the Housing Opportunities Manual to the Deputy Director of OC Public Works. Additional proposed technical revisions to the zoning code include adding clarification that affordable housing developments are permitted use in the zoning code section for commercial districts and employment districts. This revision is being made for consistency with the zoning code, and also minor corrections to typographical errors, omissions, and renumbering are also included in this amendment. So in summary, the amendments to the land use element and zoning code are necessary to meet statutory requirements and consistency with state law. Staff received a comment letter from the Airport Land Use Commission on Monday afternoon. In the comment letter, ALUX supports the proposed amendments to the land use element. They provided a comment on the zoning code amendment to include language that residential uses, emergency shelters, and low barrier navigation centers shall not be allowed within the 65 CNEL noise contour of an airport within Orange County. However, there are no unincorporated areas within the 65 CNEL noise contours of John Wayne, Fullerton, and Los Alamitos. We will be meeting with ALUX on September 15th. The Board of Supervisors public hearing on this item is scheduled for September 27th. At this time, OC Development Services Planning recommends the Planning Commission to take actions presented on the screen. To receive the staff report, conduct a public hearing, and adopt Planning Commission Resolution 2022-01, recommending that the Board of Supervisors find the negative declaration prepared for the housing-related updates to the general plan and comprehensive zone reflects independent judgment of the county as lead agency and satisfies the requirement of CEQA. And two, adopt amendment to the County of Orange land use element to incorporate land use policies regarding housing development. And three, adopt amendment to the County Comprehensive Zoning Code to modify certain residential development standards and make technical modifications. So that concludes the presentation. We are available to answer any questions.
All right, thank you very much. I had one question on something that you just said. I don't know who wants to answer it. Recommended action, conduct public hearing. When is that?
So the public hearing should be opened after the staff presentation.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to ask too.
So that is to occur today?
Yes.
Okay, I don't see it on my agenda necessarily, so thank you.
So what's happening today?
Yes, that's why the title of this is item number one, public hearing. The staff does not have to present during a public hearing.
Well, I see public meeting. I didn't know if there was a difference.
There is. So on item number one, it does say public hearing. Public meeting is just,
where are you?
I'm on page 2 of 3 of the agenda.
Okay, good.
Sorry about that.
No, I missed it. I probably missed it.
It says public hearing. So a public hearing is a requirement when you have an amendment to the zoning code or a general plan. And that just means that you officially
open
the public hearing and then close it.
Very good.
But that does not need to be done during a staff presentation. You can do it when public comment.
I wasn't looking at the right page.
Okay.
Thank you very much. So I see the public hearing on our agenda now. Thank you. And before I turn it over to, I was just curious, does anybody here, just briefly, know what 70 units on an acre looks like?
Yeah. So if you have an average of 750 square feet per unit size, that'll get you to a total of 52,500 square feet, which if you have three plates is about 17,500 square feet of area per plate, which gives you a lot coverage of about 40%, which is pretty typical for a certain size of development. What you would probably need to look at in that scale would be a parking structure of some sort if you were going to require on-site parking. With all the laws regarding housing adjacent to public transit, parking requirements are no longer necessarily applicable, so we wouldn't have that discussion. So you would be looking at approximately a three-story building covering about 40% of the lot with 60% open for landscape areas, parking areas, park space, things of that nature. That would be able to be accomplished by the base zoning designation, height restrictions of 35 feet. You're typically going to see about 10 to 15 foot tall ceiling spaces within that space, so you'd fit three stories within that. They may alternately obtain a density bonus that would allow for increases in certain zoning requirements, such as height, where you may see a four-story building at that point in time. So you would see something maybe in a smaller footprint then. So rather than having three stories at that 17,000 square foot per story, you may see something around 12 or 13. That's with a net average of a 750 square foot unit. That's typically going to be associated with a two bedroom. So what you would probably see is maybe a 500 square foot single bedroom unit, you know, the average two bedroom 750, and then allowing for even a 1,000 square foot unit to have a three bedroom size area, but netting that total area out at just about that. That's not atypical, but it is more of a higher density development. Orange County hasn't really seen that kind of development. You would typically see maybe 30 to 40 units per acre in some of the more dense developments, and that would be limited to almost a two-story unit instead of going to the three and four. And those are more market rates, so they are going to have more of a drive for parking than affordable housing.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, a quick comment on that, and maybe Commissioner Bartlett knows too. I think you're right. I don't know if there is such a development in Orange County right now, and from a development feasibility standpoint, developers probably not going to go to that extreme. So it is fairly complicated or kind of difficult to achieve. Maybe there's some of that in areas like San Francisco, New York. I don't know. I'm not the expert in the area, but 70 plus unit density, that's
It's dense.
You're going to get some of that down in Irvine, such with a podium type of development, but definitely you're not. It's going to be the feasibility of the costs compared to the rent that you're going to get on it or the sale of it. It's probably not likely to happen.
Yep.
But as part of it's a paper exercise, right?
You and I deal with that, right? Yeah. But I mean, can it be achieved? Yes.
We're just giving the ability. I think that's.
Oh no, I understand that.
Go ahead.
I just didn't know what that looked like, and I was thinking, it must be several stories to get that many.
Typically, with parking requirements, if you have parking requirements, you're going to be a podium construction. It could be above grade or below grade, but the parking's where the real costs come in. So my question, actually, in the same vein, is there is no set. We aren't changing the minimum density, just we're allowing up to a higher density. So we can still say within wood frame construction.
That's correct. We've also had some contemplation of allowing moderate income housing units to be applied. A lot of times when you have 100% affordable housing requirements, it's perceived as a barrier to development. Whereas if you allow up to a certain percentage, I think we're going up to 25% potentially of moderate level, that allows for some more market rate housing to be constructed and would get some more profitability and more kind of realistic development.
There's some great examples though. Central Park West, a lot of podium construction, one high rise, fail. But as long as you're staying in wood frame construction and not going sub T on parking, it's pretty feasible to build. So.
Thanks. All right. Who else?
Mr. Chair, along those same lines, I just have a question, Cindy, regarding, I don't know what page it's on, but it's the bullet point was proposed revisions to land use element includes the following: addition of affordable multifamily housing to the table of allowable uses in commercial and industrial land use categories. My question is, does it have to be affordable? Wouldn't there be an opportunity to allow it as by right as a possibility?
Yes.
So if I'm a market rate developer and I see a commercial or an industrial property that would be suitable for a residential, but I don't want to do a fourth. I want to just do market rate. Is that allowed in these zones?
Oh, no, it's not.
So I'm just a little curious to maybe, is that something that should be considered, Ruby, or?
Ruby Maldonado. To answer your question specifically, currently the Housing Opportunities Overlay District regulations require 100% affordability to low and very low incomes for eligibility to construct in the overlay zone, the overlay district. I think it's 70-30, 70-low, 30% very low. And that is not recommended to be changed at this time. Except that Justin did mention we're looking at the possibility of allowing a certain percentage of moderate in this proposed amendment.
So it just appears, it seems to me that we're maybe missing an opportunity here, but that's my observation. Because no one's going to do affordable in an industrial zone, full 100% affordable, but someone may, in fact, do a market rate project in an industrial or commercial zone.
Ruby, does this have to do partly with our RENA allocation has to be for a certain number of units for low and very low income? Is that right?
Yes. And in fact, the district regulations were adopted in order to facilitate the affordable housing construction, because at that time the county wasn't meeting its requirements for low and very low, and they worked with the state to come up with the overlay district. And then since then we have over 100 units in the district that have been very successful and very nice projects throughout the unincorporated area.
But we have a proportion of our RENA allocation, the 10,406, that has to be low and very low.
Yes,
right?
Four income categories, very low, low, which is 80% of the AMI low, and then moderate and above moderate. And like every other jurisdiction, the biggest challenge is for low and very low.
So it might, I think we are saying the same thing here. So basically, low or very low income housing is a condition for approval on commercial industrial zone to get that kind of density. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
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 I know, I'm looking at you. I understand. And it is what it is. We got to get to the numbers.
That's right.
That was the point I was trying to make, is that part of this is to try to get to the numbers, right? We have historically, and I think in our general plan, when we report our general plan progress report, we have well over the number of moderate units that we need and above moderate, but we do not have those other two income categories, the numbers that we need to show the capability to build, not necessarily that we have, but the capability to build.
And this just allows for that.
It creates the capacity based upon the sites that are available within the county to reach that.
Yeah, it creates a possibility, but not likely.
Well, and then that gets to inherently to the intent behind a housing element. Mm-hmm. It's not to prescribe or actually develop the units. It's to create no barriers or reduce the barriers to develop at those affordability levels determined by the states.
Yeah, but the condition that they have to meet to get that approval, in a way, is a barrier, right?
Yes.
From a development standpoint, and you and I deal with it, Commissioner Bartlett, right?
Yes.
Because we're not going to get into that commercial industrial zones and propose something like that and say, hey, yeah, we'll do it and make it low to very low.
Yeah, to make it mandated 100% in a commercial industrial zone, my point is simply that there's such a supply strain out there that we should be looking at market opportunities everywhere we can. And then, you know, if you have to go a certain percentage, like 5% or 10% of the total number of units be affordable in order to make it, to help reduce the number. But I understand that we're kind of in it. It's more of an observation on my part, just trying to increase supply everywhere.
And I think we're trying to increase size and capacity in specific thresholds of area, but at the same time, protecting that land from being converted to perhaps its highest and best use, right? With the market is driving it, Where we're now saying is, you may convert these commercial industrial sites, provided there is this benefit to the community, which is providing the affordable housing. To your point, though, the state has come back to us with that 100% affordability as saying that is a barrier.
Yeah.
Even when you look at public-private partnerships with a housing trust or using tax increment financing or other state mechanisms, having 100% of a barrier or 100% affordability requirement creates a barrier. Whereas if you create 25%, now you bring that 25% of some incentive to develop, coupling that with that tax increment or other state monies, it makes it more palatable.
You kind of answered my question. Again, when we present it to the state, are they gonna come back and say, wow, you guys did a great job, but you're creating nothing here because the barrier is too great. So it's almost an impossibility to do it. So again, I understand why we're doing it, but will the state come back and say, come on, guys?
There's always a reassessment period after this whole thing will be completed.
Yeah.
Trust me, I've worked from the state for 20 years.
So
they come back and reassess.
One of the things is we have that October 15th deadline, right? That we're to rezone that we are complying with. Once we get an approved or basically an authorized housing element through the state, there may be subsequent changes that will trickle in as part of that. This now basically states to the state, we have rezoned and changed our general plan land use element to create the capacity to meet these arena numbers. Should you find flaw in that, we still have an opportunity to correctively fix that.
I think Commissioner Morgan had something
Sorry.
To ask or say.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I can save it for commissioner comments at the end, I guess. This is an exercise in completing an administrative task, so I'll save my comment regarding the concept of NOAA for the end of the meeting.
Mr. Chairman, one other question that relates to the
yes.
To how we've satisfied our obligations in the past is I don't know if I heard this right, but 5,272 units were the fifth cycle.
Yes.
So, to Commissioner Haw's point, how did we do in the fifth cycle?
Less than 300 units?
Yes, so I think we were short 300 to 500 units.
So, and then on, did we hit our low and our very low?
No, we didn't.
So it's difficult.
When I said 300, 400 units, that's the total number of units.
Oh, I thought you were 300 or 400 short.
No.
Okay.
The total. And again, we're not required to hit these numbers.
No, understood.
Yet.
Yes. Operative.
Yet.
That is the operative word.
we'll see in 8 years or whatever, when the number is 20,000.
Yeah. No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, that's a conversation we've had internally, is how is that RENA number driven and what areas of the county unincorporated areas are included in that? And we've had some discussions about perhaps from a legislative standpoint, maybe asking or seeing if there's some changes that could occur, because when the majority of our undeveloped land is protected national forest and they're including that land into a calculation for RENA, we're never going to build any units there. The barrier there is so high or great, but we still get hit with that area as having potential capacity and therefore driving our RENA numbers higher.
Mr. Chairman, the last time I think this was in front of us, I believe the Coyote Canyon landfill was identified for housing. Is that still the case?
Yes, that still is included.
So that's
on our sites.
That's there's a big chunk that's identified there, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, but have you guys ever tried to develop? Yeah. I'm not even talking about housing, even
anything.
Commercial, industrial. I mean, I deal with landfills. Try and you'll see the numbers won't even pencil out.
Yeah.
Or even have a chance to pencil out.
So it's an administrative issue.
Yeah,
as well.
You have to do podium there because you almost just have the garage separation between housing. So you have to build max density like a Del Amo site, right? Like it. To get the vapor barrier.
Again, I know what we're trying to achieve here, yeah. But to implement any kind of regulation or zoning or whatever it is, but the practicality of trying to make it, getting it to work, I guess it's two different issues, but I won't say anymore.
I think that's the point. I think that's the big point.
You're making
is
a good point.
For anybody who might look back on this 10 years from now and ask the question, what were they thinking? That's, we were thinking exactly the likelihood, the practicability of this is very low, but we're doing what we need to do.
Yes. Okay. And I just want to be clear, because I think that the reference to the housing inventory and the landfill site is actually our housing element. So
yes.
What's being considered today is not the housing element, because we have not yet received further comments back from HCD.
Okay.
So we're a little cart before the horse because of a statutory deadline, which I'm just rereading again and again on my phone, that we have to have that done by October 15th. Even if we don't have a substantially compliant housing element. So we have to do the rezoning, and then we will bring back the housing element to the Planning Commission once we have our further comments from HCD.
All right, with that, any further questions of staff at this point? Commissioners?
I don't have any more.
Hearing none.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
Seeing none.
But you made a good point.
Can you please open the public hearing before you guys take a vote?
Yes, I was going to start, we're going to open up the public hearing right now. Here's a gavel. Hearing's open. And we'll look about the room, seeing no members of the public here. And there are no comments sent in to us to read or anything like that. If there was, somebody would speak up and tell me. So with that, I guess we can close the public hearing and move on to C of recommended actions, because we have received the staff report. We have conducted the public hearing, and now we have the opportunity to adopt the Planning Commission Resolution 2022-01. And 01, this is 01. Is this the first work we've done? Is that what that means?
The first resolution you've adopted.
All right, well, wake up. We gotta do something this year. All right, and then, well, I'll leave that. Who would like to make a motion on this? Anybody?
I'll be happy to make it a motion to
Commissioner Bartlett, please.
To make a motion to adopt the recommended action.
All right, that's good. And do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. Commissioner Haas seconds that. Commissioner Bartlett made the motion to adopt the recommended action at C and everything included. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say no. All right. 5-0. I think we've done that. Very good. Thank you. And with that, I think we go down to Roman numeral 3 of the agenda for executive officer update.
Thank you, sir. Just a couple quick updates on some projects moving forward. The Ranch Hill development in North Tustin has completed its public comment period of the environmental impact report. Staff, in concurrence with county council, are reviewing those comments. There are substantial, over 200 comment letters received. Because it is an environmental impact report, we are compelled to respond to each comment. County staff is having some issues with how the applicant and also the consultant prepared those responses, so there is going to be some back and forth. We had originally anticipated maybe early fall for that moving forward to public hearings, probably pushing out into the winter months, if not maybe into the beginning of next year. The comments are substantial, so we want to make sure we take the time and effort to go through those appropriately. We also have a development called Oak Grove, a small 14-unit subdivision down in Coto, that its environmental documents are beginning to be ready for release. And so we should have that on the streets probably by the end of the month of this month and the beginning of next month. That would then proceed to public hearing probably in the early part of the winter. So. Those are the two most readily available items moving forward. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions if you may have them at this time before passing it on to County Council.
Ranch Hill is at the tennis club?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, I do know that my supervisor has some concerns and comments on that. So maybe I'll schedule something with you and staff on that.
That would be well appreciated.
All right. Any other questions for our executive officer? No? All right, then we'll go to county council update.
I don't think I have anything further. I don't have any updates.
Oh, good news.
Unless you guys have questions. I think last time we discussed the Chabad, that was, yeah, that was upheld, so.
Okay.
There's nothing else.
All right, very good. Thank you. And then we're at planning commissioner comments. Commissioner Morgan, did you want to add something for there?
Sure. I want to thank everyone on the conversations regarding affordable versus market rate housing. And I think it's important to note that when folks think about market rate housing, they think about like luxury McMansions or expensive townhomes that no one can actually afford. That's not necessarily the case of what the reality is. And I think it's important for us to remember that we're trying to build a market where homes are affordable to all people, not just the few lucky lotto winners who get affordable housing units. And that when people don't move, it decreases the availability of homes for rent and for sale. And supply is not number of homes in a market, it's number of homes that are available in a market. The last thing that I want to encourage you guys to think about, and I actually want to really thank staff and county, or county staff for working on this earlier, because it's a great example of this concept, but the work that you guys did with the pre-approval, or are doing with the pre-approved plans for ADUs, is a great example of a term of a type of home that we like to call NOAA, or naturally occurring affordable housing. LA's got a great example of this. It's their RD15 lots that you can basically build four townhomes on a 6,000 square foot lot. The market rent is a massive number, but they tend to be fairly high bedroom count, and they end up being the cheapest homes available for young folks. I attended the Costa Mesa City Council meeting a few weeks ago, where all of council essentially said that we have a moral imperative to build housing. And most of the public comment was referring to the fact that their kids couldn't afford to move back home. So when we build, I would encourage us to try to find product types that are market driven, that require no subsidy, that can be built and will be built, that will provide naturally affordable homes. I'm currently developing a four unit deal in Hollywood where a studio rents for $3,500, and we're gonna have individual bedrooms that rent for $1,200 that are nicer than the studio that they would be able to rent. We're gonna do very, very well on it economically. It's gonna be a great benefit to the neighborhood, and it's gonna provide affordable, actual affordable housing to, at that's those four units are gonna provide housing for 16 people, assuming there's no dual occupancy in bedrooms. In a home that was previously providing housing for one person in an old home that was paying $3,500 in rent. So there are ways to provide market rate housing that is affordable and approachable, but the more barriers we put into development, the more expensive it gets. There's a really great example I saw on the internet, and as you know, everything that's on the internet is true. why do you guys are laughing? That wasn't a joke. that was a joke. But it basically showed the math of when you take the return on cost that a developer needs to build something, and you factor in what a 20% affordable housing unit does to the market rate rents and how it pushes up everyone else's rents, you start seeing that there is definitely a place for affordable housing, but it can't be our only solution. I know what we're doing today, as I said, is a exercise in administration, an administrative exercise, but I'd really like to see more municipalities focusing on, again, this concept of NOAA. I think it's the type of thing where you go to an old strip center and you can plop down a couple townhomes and not have a two-car parking requirement, because that's going to prohibit you from having, you know, parking requirements are one of the biggest constraints. So that's my long-winded discussion on NOAA, but I appreciate your time and thank you, staff.
Thank you. Any other commissioners have any comments?
I have just want to say thank you, yes, to the commission for allowing me to, for giving me an excused absence the last couple of meetings and staff. I had conflicts I could not get out of, and I appreciate you guys carrying on, and thank you.
I just want to say thank you to the team for giving us a briefing ahead of time. I felt much more comfortable coming into this meeting. It was really good. and very thorough, so I appreciate that. I just read over the resolution too, it's really well done. So I appreciate that as well. That's it.
Very good. All right, thank you. And I know Commissioner Ha and I got a briefing as well, and it saved me from showing up and not knowing anything about what was going on. And so that was a good thing. All right, finishing that, we'll go to any public comments for agendas not, items not on the agenda. I don't see any members of the general public here looking around, see none. Therefore, we will adjourn until our next meeting, which is at least scheduled for September 14th, 2022. All right, thank you.
Is that happening?
Is that, yeah, what's the likelihood?
Yeah, what's the likelihood?
Wait for the recording to be done.
Thank you all.